Ok, velkommen til Kryptografen podcast, episode 55. Now I'm going to switch over to English. We're going to conduct this interview in your language, Eva.
Thank you.
You are the new chief operating officer in soon-to-be-listed Arcane Crypto. Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us a bit about your background, like since when you left school and what you've been doing. You have quite an exciting...
Yeah, it's a little bit unique or strange. So I started off as a lawyer, specializing in funds, financial services, corporate law, and qualified as a solicitor in the UK. And then I pretty quickly decided that what interested me about law was not really kind of the legal aspect, but what was more working for a business inside a company, and in particular in finance, as that's the kind of law that I've been focusing on. So as soon as I qualified, I moved in-house to Morgan Stanley, helping them on legal documentation matters in their FX prime brokerage team. So they were building out that as a new business within the bank. And so I was helping with that. And then I moved over into securities lending. So the securities lending and corporate bonds team within Morgan Stanley, both in London and New York. Again, still looking at legal and documentation. And from then, the opportunity came up to move into trading. So I took, I guess, what is kind of not very a normal career path is moving from legal into trading. So I was trading securities at Morgan Stanley. So that's covering their hedge fund shorts and doing some corporate bond and ETF trading as well.
That was in the London office.
Based out of London, yeah. And then, so ended up heading their flow trading team out for Europe. So kind of all of the non-structured, complex, less complex trades, and also working on automation. So we were looking at ways to automate the trading flow. So some of the more simple approvals and simple tasks on the desk could be automated via machine learning models.
Is that like a big integrated part of like a trading desk these days? I mean, a quite old guy when I used to say that the trading desk wasn't automated.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's becoming more and more that way, and that they're looking for ways to automate some tasks. And kind of update a lot of systems.
You have like the tech people sitting just next to you, or how does like a trader
and the tech people do not want to sit next to the traders. They want to avoid them at all costs with the annoying questions 24/7. No, they would be separate. But you know, when we were building out our automation platform, there was a lot of interaction and the team responsible spent a lot of time on the desk and with the trading team, kind of going through that and figuring out and understanding the objectives. So I think it was kind of at that point that I'd started to think, okay, what's next? What else do I want to do as, you know, more and more of the trading roles were moving away from the team. And so I decided to take a little bit of time out.
Automation took your job away.
Automation took my job away. No, it didn't. But I think it was a real shift in thinking of, you know, okay, what is the future? Is it going to be finance or is it going to be technology? And for me, I kind of thought, well, okay, I don't really see my future in finance. So I ended up, taking some time out, and then I worked for a number of different companies, but mainly one in the US called May. It was a texting app startup, and so yeah, I kind of got fully thrown into the startup life. We did looked at doing a token in the height of the ICO. ICO token cycle. And so that was really interesting. I was helping them until the end of last year. And then, and now I'm here.
Yeah, perfect. So, I mean, you didn't leave finance, you left traditional finance.
Exactly.
Came to the new finance, fintech. But okay, but why Arcane? I mean, Why did you decide to join us?
So I'd had some exposure to Arcane through two of the companies that it's invested in. So Pure Markets and Alpha Plate.
That's the London outfits. It's the arbitrage company and the interbank market.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Through them, I kind of got exposure to everything that Arcane was building. And I think that the diversity of different companies within the group is really unique. Arcane is thinking about crypto and digital assets in general in a very broad way. They're looking at, okay, how will this impact on so many aspects, you know, of the financial industry and the payments industry, kind of making acquisitions that complement one another and that really makes sense. So I think that really interesting aspect of the
basically synergies between all the companies.
Exactly. Yeah. Was really appealing to me.
So if you go back to the start, though, where did you first hear about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? Like, what was your introduction to the whole industry?
I mean, I'd say compared to some of the people in the team, maybe it was a little later, probably around 2017. So when it was all kind of starting to kick off, in terms of what it was that kind of first brought my attention to it, apart from the being the period where, you know, there was obviously lots of news reports around Bitcoin. But I would say I did it in a little bit of a strange way. And I was first drawn to understanding smart contracts and blockchain. Mm. As a lawyer, that kind of appealed
like
to me.
Like Ethereum?
Well, just understanding how a smart contract would work, whether that would be on an Ethereum or in another protocol. Just thinking, okay, this is great. Imagine if, you know, the responsibilities and the actions within a contract could be automatically triggered. Wow. And then from that, I kind of went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and started to learn even more about that, and obviously that's now where I spend most of my time and most of my interest is learning about Bitcoin. But it was actually the thought behind smart contracts that got me interested in the first place, and then I ended up going to an event called Crypto Springs in Palm Springs with a number of really interesting people. And I think when you hear a lot of people within the Bitcoin community talk about Bitcoin, it's really hard not to get sucked in. They're so passionate and knowledgeable. So I think that was another factor.
Perfect. So you're a smart contract kind of girl joining a shop full of Bitcoin maximalists.
Well, that was how I started. I would not say I'm anything other than.
Okay, well, what do you think is the biggest difference between the crypto industry and traditional finance? I mean, you got some taste of both worlds. So.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd say the biggest difference is ability and reaction to change. In the crypto industry, change and development is welcomed, is encouraged. People who question the status quo and look for new ways to do things, that's encouraged, actively encouraged. And so there's very quick evolution and iteration, whereas in finance, change is slow and change is met with...
Do you think it's attitude or just that the companies or banks are bigger?
I think it's both. Yeah. I think people are very set in their ways and they can't get their head around that there could be other ways to do things. And also kind of implementing any change if their mind is altered and then they say, okay, actually that is a better... that's a better way to do things. So then to implement that takes a ridiculously long time too. So I think that's kind of the biggest difference.
Do you think there will be two separate industries, like let's say in 20 years? Or would it just merge and be like one? How do you see that?
I think it will merge to some extent. Mm. In a good way, in that a lot of the finance companies will realize that their future will involve Bitcoin and digital assets. But I think that there may be still some areas that remain and as kind of purely finance. And I think that's fine. I don't think that, you know, it doesn't have to mean everything changes, but there should be progress and there should be development.
I mean, everything like bonds and stocks and settlement and all that stuff. Do you think that's going to end up on a blockchain somehow? Or is it too, like, not too deep in now?
And to me, that's actually one of the really exciting developments within the crypto industry at the moment is the possibility of improving and updating custody settlements by utilizing blockchain and how that could be done via stablecoins and other methods and getting that. Those areas essentially stuck in the dark ages. I mean, some of them still, it's like writing on a piece of paper, you know, here you go.
Yeah, and it's 3-day settlement, isn't it? If you buy a stock to a bank.
Exactly. So I think that's really exciting. And that is I think will be one of the first areas to kind of move in finance.
Cool. Okay, and now Arcane Crypto is going for a listing, like within some weeks or maybe a month. But what kind of opportunities do you think that'll bring to the company and the portfolio companies?
I think that as more and more crypto-focused companies look to list, I think it's just confirming to the public that crypto and digital assets is not going away. This is going to be the future, and this is something that it is respectable and not the wild, wild west anymore. I think that people do look to listed companies to get some clarity around, okay, what are these companies doing? Where's the transparency? Being able to see that gives them some reassurance, and it will have a positive impact on all of the portfolio companies. I mean, I think that it will not only propel them more into the spotlight as people learn about Arcane, and as a result the portfolio companies, but I think it will also give recognition to the company and encourage bigger players to come in. For example, I know that Pure Markets is seeing a lot of interest from institutional banks about getting involved in crypto, and I think that will only increase, you know, once Arcane is listed. Mm.
It's a great opportunity to teach, like, ordinary equity investors,
yeah,
and
exactly,
banks and brokers and all that stuff, what's crypto,
yeah,
all about, you know,
exactly,
because now we're going to sit in on all those presentations and quarterly reports and that sort of stuff. So that'll probably be good, and hopefully it'll provide some capital for us to grow as well, though.
That part
too. Small bit, little bit there. So, okay, if you had all the resources in the world and a big team of tech, and you could, like, start a blockchain project at your own choosing, what would be your dream, like, to solve, like, a big problem? I know that you're not prepared on this question, but
to solve a big problem, I think if I could do anything, money was no object, I think that it would be around kind of improving anything that could be around improving access to finance. Obviously, having Bitcoin provides the way in which you know, people who don't currently have access to banks can use Bitcoin. But I still don't think that has been completely nailed in terms of completely democratizing finance.
It's a bit difficult, though, still. I mean, it's complex.
It is.
Sending a Bitcoin, if I was to send you, like, a fractional, it's difficult. It's
exactly. So I think of a way to get to communities, to get to people who don't have access to traditional banks, make it easy, whether it's through someone's mobile phone, whether it's you know, whatever way it can be done to improve access to Bitcoin and as a result to you know, to finance in general, I think that'd be a
to
project.
Store it, transact it,
exactly,
save and earn interest,
exactly,
and that sort of stuff.
Themselves, yeah, take ownership, not rely on anyone else, but also just give them that access. I think that a project around that would be my dream.
Wow. Really cool. And now you're going to spend your time going back and forth on the Corona airplane from London to Oslo. What's the plan going?
I can confirm we're socially distanced right now for the listeners.
Do you have to sit with the, like, what do you call it?
The mask.
The face mask thing. You were quite surprised that not many people in Norway
Wearing them. No.
They're actually discussing it today, whether or not we're going to use it on the bus or the tube.
Yeah.
I think. But they ended up, no, you don't have to.
Right.
Weird.
Right. I mean, I think that Oslo is more socially distanced than London, because London's such a more dense population that you can't
help. You mean
help
the 6 million people taking a tube every day?
That, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I think you can't, you have to kind of take different precautions in London. Mm-hmm. But yeah, coming back and forth, and I would like to spend as much time as possible in Oslo. It's a great city.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.